And so we stand firm, knowing only the Father, only the Son, only the living Spirit. We are making our move to live as the incorporeal Christ. While appearing on earth in the flesh, just as he appeared on earth in the flesh. We are following Christ into oneness here and now. Our lives are changing now. We are learning that the sacred innermost room, the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could enter, was not a physical place at all. It was an out-of-the-body experience. We are learning that when Moses was out of the body, he received the Ten Commandments. We are learning that no evil shall befall anyone who knows that the secret place of the Most High is out of the body. We are learning that the second coming of Christ is your realization of life outside physical form. We are learning that the most closely guarded secret of the Bible is this: you have never been inside a human body. This sense body is only a body image, a composite image, projected inside the brain by the cosmic mind and your five senses. We are learning that Daniel was not inside the body that went into the lion's den. That little David was not inside the body that conquered Goliath. That living outside the body was the secret of Joshua, Hezekiah, and Isaiah. All this was brought into focus by the illumined Jesus, who showed that the only way out of the recycled universe in ever-dying time was to realize that the recycled body of Adam's called human is not an objective reality. Not a creation of God under his divine government, but a perishable image telecast into the amphitheater of the human mind. With one inspired demonstration of life that could not die, Christ divided the false man from the real man. Every resurrection in the Bible was a revelation that real man of spirit does not live in a tomb of dying flesh. Come forth, Lazarus, meant, come forth, human race. When he forgave the adulteress, divine consciousness was taking the human race out of hypnosis in the flesh. When he told the cripple, rise, take up thy bed and walk, he was revealing that the five senses of man, the five porches, have blocked out the sunlight of reality and have imprisoned man inside a body that is not there. Inside the senses, we sleep in shadows called bodies. Above the senses, we awaken to the infinite body of Christ, perfect as the Father. Inside body, we experience temporary life cycles, imperfections, alternating good and evil, the absence of divine power, and the inevitability of physical death. Outside body, we are the life of God, whole, self-complete, immortal. Again, inside body, we try to fulfill the wrong self. Outside body, we know that I am the one self. Inside body, we are man, looking for God. We are two, God and man. Outside body, we are the infinite I Am, individualizing its perfection everywhere. Inside body, we are the son of woman, the son of flesh. Outside body, we are the son of man, the son of spirit. Inside body, we live recycled lives, searching for permanence and identity. Outside body, we live the one life, ageless, timeless, flawless, indestructible. Which life do we want? The unseparated, eternal, infinite, self-existent life of God, or the separated, flawed, limited, finite, aging, vulnerable, recycled life of a hypnotized mortal? Then let us learn how to awaken from these time capsules called human bodies. How to stand free in the undying spirit body that glorifies God. With eyes closed, know this. God has given you a perfect body, a permanent body of spirit to live in now. That body has special functions that cannot be fulfilled by a body made of aging matter. Let us find that divine body now and see what the world has been missing. Your five senses cannot make contact with spirit. So, for most of your human life, your mind has ignored your spiritual body. And the immortal life that pulses through your spiritual body has not had an opportunity to animate you. But now, rising above the limitation of your five senses, accept the presence of your spiritual body. Cancer will never destroy it. Nuclear missiles will never exterminate it. Blood of fire will never drown or burn it. Age will never shrivel or decompose it. Now, how are you going to live in this spiritual body which Christ says belongs to you, instead of in this visible physical body, which you know is not the instrument of God? There are really only two basic rules. The rules of spiritual success are very simple. Anybody can understand them. The first rule is that you are allowed only one human decision, and that is your first decision. Once you have made that first decision, that is your last decision. And that first decision must be this: total, absolute humility. God makes all the decisions, not you, not me, not any human authority. Your first decision is that meekly you turn to the one infinite consciousness for instructions. If you wish to inherit the earth. Having made that first decision, you can make no more decisions. The second basic rule is this: we obey those instructions without quibble, without excuse, however inconvenient or strange they may seem to be. Divine consciousness lays down the perfect master plan. We submit to that plan. And with this understanding, nothing less, we are ready to follow Christ into heaven and to do whatever Christ bids us do. Once these basic rules are understood and accepted, instructions follow very, very quickly. And here's your first, right now. The first divine instruction has been on the earth for thousands of years. It is this: cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Let's clarify this divine instruction. By a very unusual method. Let us look at a corpse. The life he treasured has gone out of him. The brain, the spinal column, no longer flash signals. The senses cannot report to the brain. The pleasures and pains of the body are finished. The body will no longer experience a sunrise or a sunset. The headlines of an evening newspaper. Or the thrill of a golf ball falling into a cup. This mortal, now a corpse, ignored this instruction. He heard it all his life, but he completely ignored it. Now he's dead. He refused to cease from man, but he is dead anyway. He had his own method of life, not according to divine instruction. And we can look at that same man 20 or 30 years ago, striving to survive in a competitive world. He was living inside a body. What he didn't know is that he was controlled by the cosmic mind. And that his body was destined to die, there was no doubt of that. And that is why he was called the living dead. Because his body was destined to die. 30 years ago, if he had obeyed divine law, he could have come out of the living dead, out of the sensations of the body that men mistakenly call life, into the body that God had created for him. But he lived by human sense decisions. He thought he was an independent thinker. But actually, he was a robot for the world mind. And now he is a corpse. Ceasing from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, is a command from divine consciousness. It is a command from the giver and creator of the one infinite life. And that divine command says, my life can never be inside a dying body. I have given you an eternal life in an eternal body. Live in it now, and let my spirit externalize all things that are necessary for your unfolding soul. God expects you to obey that command. And the capacity to obey it has been placed closer to you than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. You already are in your eternal body. You don't have to go anywhere to find it. You don't have to wait. You simply have to awaken to the joyous truth that what you have called your human body is not there. If you are peeking into infinity, this meditation is taking hold. Let us continue now in the Word, in the silence, in the joy of accepting oneness with Spirit, in obedience to God's command, we cease from the belief that we are living inside a human body. A body that lives and then dies. Henceforth, we know the mystical truth. I, the life of God, the Spirit of God, the light of God, the Son of God, the substance of God, will no longer ignore the divine instruction that I cease from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. Now, in the fourth dimension of consciousness, I feel a release. From the five-sense lie that has crucified Christ since the cradle of the human race. Spirit guiding me, henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. On the face of this globe, in the past or in the so-called future. Above the deception of form, I perceive the trap of the human mind. Which has evaluated men on the basis of color, race, nationality, creed, and other false factors which deny the infinite Christ presence everywhere, always. But if I am not inside the form, where am I? I am wherever God is. I lived only where my human body appeared, but now I no longer live as a tiny lump of thought called flesh in each passing second, surrounded by an immensity of mental space. Now I no longer accept the many limitations of my temporary sense of form as normal and as real. Now I no longer shut out God's perfection or reduce God's life and spirit down to a fraction distorted by the evils of this world, fearful for my loved ones and for the safety of my own existence, or living by the sweat of my brow. no more. Henceforth, I live not where my body is, but where God is. Henceforth, out of body, present with the Lord, I will automatically be about my Father's business. Henceforth, I live not by external bread alone, but by the bread of life, the word of Christ that proceedeth out of the eternal Father. Henceforth, I move in the rhythm of angels, unseparated by the illusion of flesh from the infinite will of God. This I will practice and practice and practice daily. And then just as I have no human body, I will know there is no human body on this earth. Therefore, I can never malpractice any man by holding him in bondage to the flesh. Neither do I condemn thee, said the Master to the adulteress, recognizing the incorporeal Christ, even where the illusion of flesh appeared. Only as I remain true to selfhood, by remaining outside all form, in accordance with the expressed will of God, do I have access to infinity. And then material sense will no longer hide his grace from my experience. Instead, the glory of God must externalize in my life. You're going to do this meditation many, many times, and each time something new will present itself to you. And now, before you move out of this meditation, please realize that whenever you are inside form, you are shutting out God contact. And you are worshiping a finite God with your finite mind. And you are keeping your human sense of life under material law of good and of evil. As the material man, the natural man, you are fishing on the finite side of the ship. And perhaps you are catching very few fish. But the moment you step outside of form, you have left your old nets. You have left your five senses, which cannot receive the grace of God, and you are activating the law of infinity. Conscious union with God, which has been our goal, is never possible inside form. Every time you achieved it, you were outside form, even if you didn't know it. As you may have heard many times, God is not with mortals, But as you maintain awareness that you are the Spirit of God outside human form, infinite omnipotence works through you. Outside the body, you are I, the living Christ. Your permanent identity, which was with you before the world was. Inside the body, you are me, the limited human who does not know he is rejecting the blessings of God, the eternal self. I believe the value of this meditation that we have just shared will multiply if you make it a daily pattern of behavior. And for this reason, I would like to suggest the following assignment. For 2 weeks, make the theme of your first morning meditation this: I am spirit. I do not live inside a human body. Establish it and extend it to include: Spirit is the one infinite self. There is no other self. Therefore, there are no human bodies anywhere. That is one meditation. You should hold this meditation until you have a realization of two things. One, that you do not live inside a human body, and two, that nobody lives inside a human body. If you can realize those two truths in the meditation, or even realize a fragment of that at one time and another fragment at another time, but gradually come to the realization and the conviction that neither you nor anybody lives in a human body, you will be in truth and you will be rewarded. This should be your first morning meditation. Now, if you get out of bed in a physical body, you've already killed the meditation. So I suggest that you do it not only before breakfast, not only before you take your first cup of coffee, but before you get out of bed. Lie there, perfectly still, flat on your back, or however you like to lie there. Quiet your senses. It's easy to do at that time of day, especially when it's dark outside and you can't hear a sound. And try to attain an inner realization of these two cardinal points. I am not in a body. No one in the world is in a body. And before you step out of that bed, if you have reached some degree of certainty, you will find your life beginning to change right then and there. After breakfast, you may wish to return to this realization in quiet again. I'm suggesting 15 minutes for the first meditation to a half hour. Less than 15 minutes, I doubt that it will help you. And then after you've done 15 minutes to a half hour in the first meditation, during the rest of the day you can come in with a short meditation. I'm not in the body. Johnny over there is not in the body. Mr. Gaddafi is not in the body. No one is in the body. I think you'll discover a remarkable change in your day. And after 2 weeks of this, you should find power, subtle power, the power of grace, living your life, making your decisions, making the crooked places straight. Oh, it works, I know that. It works so incredibly that it's hard to contain your inner joy. It's almost hard not to want to meditate. There's too much good that is derived from it. And all the time that you are experiencing this renewal of exhilaration, you will know that you are making headway in your preparation for life outside physical form, which by now you realize is the secret of transition to eternal life. Right now, we have a little appearance out there in Libya. By the time you receive this, that appearance may have been expanded or diminished. I don't know, but let's assume that we will still have some type of appearance at that time. And so I'm also recommending one more assignment. You might call it world work. And it's this: for the next 2 months, for May, for June, I am recommending that every Saturday and every Sunday at 2 p.m. California time, 2 p.m. California time, we make our theme peace. And we meditate together on the theme of peace, specifically peace between all nations and peace between Libya and the United States. Up to now, the world has failed to produce peace, because it has relied either on human will or the sword. We have forgotten that the only real peacemaker is Christ. And so in these Saturday and Sunday meditations, we wish to apply the knowledge that we are not dealing with men and women who live inside human bodies. Christ is the infinite I Am, the only presence on earth, on all the planets, in galaxies unknown. And Christ is not living inside a human body. Now, we are not trying to condemn, to control, or to influence anyone in the world, including Colonel Gaddafi. or President Roosevelt, Reagan. Where have I been? Or President Reagan in the White House. But our purpose is to attain a realization of the universal Christ, in whose presence there must be peace. Now here's an example of how we should handle this meditation. At 2 p.m. California time, a few minutes early, if possible, to get into the rhythm, close your eyes and rest in the knowledge that you are universal spirit. You are not living in a human body. This is the beginning. It must be the beginning. You are not living in a human body. Let your stillness deepen to know that the same universal Christ is the only inhabitant of the universe, the only inhabitant in Libya, that the colonel there, Colonel Gaddafi, is a time image projected by the world mind, that there is no one in his human body. Please find that truth in your consciousness. There is no one inside the body of Colonel Gaddafi. As that knowledge deepens, extend it to the White House. Only the universal Christ lives there. There is no person inside the body of the president. Only Christ. Now join Christ in Libya with Christ in the White House into one Christ. I am indivisible, perfect as the Father. And then, in your inner sanctuary, wait upon the Lord. Wait for the Christ who says, peace, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For 2 months, every Saturday, every Sunday, in May and June, at 2 p.m. California time, the whole meditation, in this case, should take 1 hour. 1 full hour. If, by chance, there is a lull in the Libyan situation before May or during May or June, let us keep up the meditations, but switch to any other theme of current national or international importance. Make up your own mind what's the most important. Always begin your meditation by knowing that you do not live inside human form. I think Joel has brought us to this point. by his teaching. And I think in this chapter, this third chapter, he may mention, if I recall, that there are those who are still teaching on the other side of the veil. So perhaps we have been receiving a great deal of guidance and direction. From spiritual entities who can see that we are ready for this incredible step. And possibly we will discover that in the 2 months from the time you receive this tape to the time you receive your fourth tape, you may find in the fourth chapter of Living Between Two Worlds some things that are pertinent to the development of incorporeality. You may find some unexpected inner assurance that you are further along than you ever guessed, and that living incorporeally, which perhaps now or at one time seemed to be the furthest thing from your mind, can be incorporated very beautifully into your way of life. That you do have the capacity to obey that command. And that signs do follow whenever you succeed in attaining a realization of that truth. For as the Father said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I would be delighted if every Infinite Way student in the universe could hear this tape. I would be delighted if all students of metaphysics and mysticism throughout the world, in any movement, could hear this tape.